Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Former NFL offensive lineman, now one of the hosts, along with Dave Briggs on radio.com sports home and home weekday mornings at 8 a.m. Eastern. Our buddy Ross Tucker is with us. Ross, how are you? Thanks for joining us.
Bull, Dustin, I am great. How are you guys?
Ross, I'm doing good, buddy. How you been? Hey, good job on that Bowling Green game a couple weeks back. That was a crazy game.
You know what? I have a feeling. I'm not sure. I don't know what you guys are going to ask me, but I have a feeling that that's actually going to come up in our NFL conversation, believe it or not.
Bowling Green?
Bowling Green Toledo?
Bowling Green Toledo. I have a feeling you're going to ask me about a player and a team, and I am going to reference Bowling Green and Toledo.
All right.
Should I just do it now?
Just do it now.
All right. You definitely were going to ask me about Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, correct?
We were going to get to him. Yes, indeed.
All right. I think that the Ravens are, on some level, revolutionizing the NFL. I have never seen a team commit to the quarterback run game like they are. And it's interesting because every week I broadcast a game for CBS Sports Network, a college game.
Right.
And these defensive coordinators go on and on about how hard it is to stop the quarterback run game. I mean, I've had guys say it's almost impossible. I've had guys say it's the great equalizer. And in that Bowling Green Toledo game, Toledo was 27.5-point favorites. And Bowling Green came out and they ran the quarterback on quarterback power, quarterback counter a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And Toledo couldn't stop them. And when you watch the Ravens right now, and I'm actually writing my story for The Athletic about this week, people cannot stop it. You no longer have the number count advantage. You can't put an extra guy in the box. I mean, you can, but then it's cover zero man-to-man across the board. And the thought process has always been, well, you can't do that in the NFL because the quarterback will get hurt. But they've made a conscious decision ever since they lost to the Browns. Lamar Jackson has had at least 14 carries the last three games. They've won all three. He's gone for over 100 yards in two of them. People cannot stop it, guys. And
yeah.
So, yes, you know what? Maybe he will get hurt, which, by the way, is why I think RG3 and Trace McSorley are his backups. I don't think that they want him to get hurt, but I think that they're very prepared. There's a reason why John Harbaugh said take the over on the record for quarterback rushing attempts in a year. They're just kind of going for it, guys. And I got news for you. If he doesn't get hurt, they're going to win the AFC North going away. And I think that they have a chance to do some major, major damage in the postseason. Like, I'm talking maybe even beating the Patriots in the AFC championship game, because it is that nasty if he can stay healthy.
This is fascinating to me, Ross. I love Lamar Jackson, and I still do think, even though it doesn't look great now, I still think the Browns can win the division. I'll tell you why in a minute. But we got to see it more. Number one, we got to see he can stay healthy. That's a big part. Although I think he's really smart when it comes to taking hits. A lot of the running quarterbacks in the past took a lot more hits. He gets out of bounds. He slides well. Remember RG3, every time he slides, he seems to be awkward. Not the case with Lamar. That was their first quality win, though, against the Seahawks. I mean, they beat the Dolphins, the Cardinals, the Bengals, and the Steelers without Roethlisberger. So I got to see it more against good teams, and their schedule is very tough the rest of the way. Besides the Steelers and the Bengals, they have all good teams they're playing the rest of the season. But it is fascinating, and I love that they've committed to it, and I'm curious to see if you're right. Can they win the division going away? Can they win in the playoffs playing this way? We know short-term it's working. Can it work long-term? I'm fascinated to find out.
Yeah, I honestly think it's like I honestly think it's a grand experiment. We've never seen this in the NFL before. You know, Jim Harbaugh had some success running with Kaepernick. That was a lot of just zone read stuff. You know, we've seen Michael Vick have a couple designed runs. We've never seen a team that more or less just says, you know what, the heck with it. We're going to run this guy 10 to 15 times a game, because when they get Hollywood Brown back, or even if Mark Andrews doesn't have a couple of drops, the passing game stuff is wide open, because you either don't have a number count advantage in the run game, or you do, and it's cover zero, man-to-man everywhere, and guys get wide open. I mean, Dustin can tell you how hard it is in cover zero. You don't even have a deep safety in the middle of the field.
Yep.
I mean, it is fascinating to watch, and you guys know the deal, right? Like, if he gets hurt, everybody and their brother is going to come out of the woodwork and say, I told you so, I told you so. Yeah. But if he doesn't, they're going to go a really long way. And I do think, Adam, to your point, he does a pretty good job with the hits. But, like, if you watch the Bengals game, he got rocked two or three times. You just cannot do that. But so far, he's like Gumby. Like, he's able to take it. And, like I said, even if he gets hurt, you know, McSorley and RG3 are not Lamar Jackson, but they could absolutely still run that offense. I don't think that they would have any problem with McSorley, you know, running him 15 times a game and just being like, heck with it. He's a, whatever he is, third-round pick or sixth-round pick, rookie out of Penn State. Run the crap out of him. Let's just keep doing it.
No doubt. Ross Tucker's our guest. Ross, let's get to some Browns here a little bit. They're off a bye week. They've got the Patriots coming up on Sunday, and, of course, the Patriots play tonight. You know, the Browns are sitting at 2-4 right now. You know, we don't think the season's over, but they've got to get better. They've got to improve. And in particular, Freddie Kitchens needs to improve. What do you think about the job that Freddie has done so far?
Well, not very good on multiple levels. I feel like there have been a number of game management, clock management issues, which I think is probably par for the course, right? I mean, if you've never done something in your life before, like, I don't know what it was like for you guys the first time you got on the radio, but I know you're a heck of a lot better than you were that first time.
That's
because you know the commercials, you know the whole deal, you have a flow, you know how you're going to alternate questions when you're interviewing someone like me or whatever, you know, or Adam's going to hog all the questions, whatever.
True.
You know, you guys know. You guys have figured it out. He's got to figure that stuff out. What's more concerning to me is that it seems like it's had an impact on his play calling and on his game planning. Like, I told you guys before the year that I took the under on the Browns win total because the offensive line and because first-time head coach. I just thought, you know, they'll probably win 7 or 8 games as a result, maybe 9. I just didn't see him getting the 10 or 11. I thought 7 or 8 was more likely than 10 or 11. But I didn't think there would be this kind of drop-off in terms of the play calling, whether that's getting the ball to their best guys or getting the ball out of Baker Mayfield's hands quickly. They've actually ended up having other issues that I did not foresee.
Yeah, one of those obviously is the play of Baker. Now, the offensive line, as we thought, has not been great. Although they played well in the loss to Seattle and they played well against Baltimore, so 2 of the last 3 games they've played better, even though they've got some holes in that line. But besides that issue, you know, Baker has really struggled. He's turned the ball over a ton. Ross, what do you see watching him? What do you think is his problem right now? Because he doesn't look like the same guy that we saw last year.
No, it's really weird. I call it, I've seen this a bunch in my career, where you have quarterbacks that kind of have a sophomore slump, if you will. You know, a second-year slump. I remember Matt Ryan did. I don't think it really got Flacco, but it gets a lot of guys. I feel like on some level, Trubisky's going through that right now. And so what happens is, when a guy's a rookie, he's a rookie, so you keep it really simple for him, right? You try to minimize the reads he has. You make it half-field reads. You're reading this one guy. If he does this, you throw it there. If he does that, you throw it there. But then the guy has some success. You get excited. oh, man, we got a good quarterback. You have the whole offseason to work with him. You start to put more on his plate. You start to have him in charge of the protections. You start to have him do more stuff at the line. And a lot of times that second year, and for Trubisky, it's the second year under Matt Nagy, they really can't handle it. It's really too much, and the game becomes too fast for them. That's what I see from Baker Mayfield. It feels like, and maybe it's because he knows he doesn't have a great offensive line, although I don't know. I'd argue that those guys have actually probably been better than I thought they'd be. I mean, they've been okay. I thought they'd be bad. They've actually been okay. But I think he has so much on his plate, or at least did, that what happens is he gets out there, and if the first read's not there, he's kind of getting skittish. You know, he's got to be the short quarterback that's more like Drew Brees and less like Russell Wilson. I think he thinks he can be like the Russell Wilson short quarterback and run around and make a play. And he does that every once in a while. But he's just not quick enough or elusive enough to major in that like Russell Wilson does. He needs to major in Drew Brees, which is ball out of my hand, pinpoint accuracy, and don't even let the rush get to me. I think because of what he did in high school and college, he still thinks he can do the Russell Wilson stuff, whereas he really needs to transition. And, you know, it takes time. It's not going to happen overnight. But he needs to transition more to being the Drew Brees type than the Russell Wilson type.
Ross Tucker is our guest. Ross, okay, let's talk offensive line for a minute because you played the position. You know better than anybody how difficult it is to learn a new offense. The Browns had brought in two guys right at the beginning of the season, like right when all the cuts happened. They had a trade, and then they picked up a guy. And now there's talk that they're going to maybe shake some things up, maybe start somebody on that offensive line. They may bench Greg Robinson, frankly. We don't know exactly what's going to happen. Freddie talked about it today. Bye week, though. Is that the right time to make a move on the offensive line?
Yeah, without question. That would be the best time. The guys most of the guys they picked up, the guys like Wyatt Teller, Justin McCray, they're young guys, but I know McCray has a decent amount of experience, and so he should be capable. But if you get 2 weeks where you're getting the reps with the ones and you're next to the guys and you're getting a really good feel for it, you should be ready to go. I mean, neither one of these guys are rookies. They've been around a little bit. I mean, there were multiple times in my career where I got traded or signed during the week and then suited up and or played that week, including when I got traded to the Browns after LeCharles Bentley went down, I started that next preseason game. You know, so I was starting at center, which is the hardest position to do it in, whatever it was, 8 days later or something like that. So it's absolutely doable, especially if it's not at center, as it won't be for those guys. Because it's not like there's that many schemes, right? As long as you know the language, you can go out there and perform. The concern is when you're out there for the first time, you're going to be making the calls and stuff, and that's okay. You want to make sure you're on the same page. But defensive linemen, as dumb as they are, they're not that dumb, right? Like if they hear scoop, they know what you're doing. If they hear deuce, they know what you're doing, which is what you really want is continuity to the point where you no longer have to make the calls. So you'd like to get a group together where they don't have to say deuce or scoop or whatever out loud because they've worked with each other enough. I don't know, Dustin, if you can get there after just the bye week. It kind of depends on those guys and how comfortable they are with each other.
Gotcha.
When you really get good as an offensive line, like the Saints or the Packers, is when you've played so well next to the guy that so long next to him, you can make dummy calls and you can say scoop or deuce when that's not even what you're doing. And then you're really messing with the D lineman's head because he thinks he knows what's coming and he's wrong. And that's why you can really look good. I don't think the Browns will get there this year if they do make the changes that they're talking about.
Last thing, Ross, on the offensive line, Trent Williams, you know, Redskins keeps, we keep hearing they won't trade him. The Browns are obviously interested, but he's 31. He hasn't been on a field since December. He hasn't played 16 games since 2013. What would you give up if you were the Browns, if the Redskins were willing to do it, and how big a difference would he make?
I would be willing to give up a first-round pick because I think he has 3 or 4 years left of playing left tackle at a high level, maybe a one and a mid-round pick. I think probably what has skewed this is the Laremy Tunsil trade, although it sounds like the Redskins aren't even listening.
Which is bizarre.
And by the way, I know those guys, they would be stubborn enough to just not do it because they don't want to set the precedent that if you stay away from them, that you ultimately get what you want, which is to get out of there.
Right.
And, you know, it's kind of a lost season for them. So, and he's under contract for one more year. So what you guys are facing is, the problem is, the Redskins aren't going anywhere this year anyway. So doing the trade with you now doesn't really give them anything unless you go above and beyond. Whereas they can make their point and just have Trent Williams not play all year and not set the precedent that if you just stay away, you'll eventually get your ticket out of there. And they can still trade him this offseason after he made $0 this year. And they can still get the draft picks for the 2020 and 2021 draft. So the Browns don't have anything to offer the Redskins from a timing standpoint. So they have to really probably overpay in order to get him for the rest of this season.
Everybody check out homeatholmeradio.com sports weekday mornings at 8 a.m. Ross Tucker, Dave Briggs. Ross, we appreciate it as always, man. Thanks for joining
us.
Thanks, Ross. Absolutely. Got to get you guys back on the show.
We'll be back on.
Definitely later this week and next week with you guys playing the Patriots.
We're in.
Sounds good, Ross.
Anytime, man.
Okay, buddy.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.